This is day 19 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards, and we're in chapter 6 of the Confession and questions 18 of the Shorter Catechism and 25 of the Larger Catechism, discussing man's sin and the effects of Adam's sin on the entire human race. And if you're a human being, this applies to you. Let's read question 18 of the Shorter Catechism. Wherein consists the sinfulness of that estate whereinto man fell? Answer: the sinfulness of that estate whereinto man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want or lack of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is commonly called original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. Large Catechism. The same question, wherein consisteth the sinfulness of that estate whereinto man fell? The sinfulness of that estate whereinto man fell consisteth in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of that righteousness wherein he was created, and the corruption of his nature, whereby he is utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite unto all that is spiritually good, and wholly inclined to all evil, and that continually, which is commonly called original sin, and from which do proceed all actual transgressions. So let's look at the proof text for that claim, that the sinfulness whereinto man fell consists of the guilt of Adam's first sin. That's from Romans 5. The Shorter Catechism actually has more proof texts than the Larger Catechism, which is interesting. But it's basically Romans 5. And if you read Romans 5, you see basically, by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. Verse 19 of chapter 5, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. And lots more. You should take the time to read Romans 5 to see that all of mankind fell with Adam, and that the guilt of Adam's first sin is imputed to every human being. And the second phrase in question 25 of the Larger Catechism, the lack of that righteousness wherein man was created, and the corruption of his nature, whereby he is utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite unto all that is spiritually good, wholly inclined to all evil, and that continually. Okay, let's look at the proof texts for that and see if that's what the Bible is saying about every human being. Romans 3:10 through 19. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 8:7-8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And then Genesis 6:5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now the last phrase, all of this being utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite unto which is spiritually glued, is commonly called original sin, and from which do proceed all actual transgressions. transgressions of the law. James 1, 14 and 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Now this is stated again with a few additional proof texts in section 4 of chapter 6 of the Confession of Faith, which is on the fall, sin, and the punishment thereof. Section 4 reads, from this original corruption, whereby we are utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite to all good, and wholly inclined to all evil, do proceed all actual transgressions. And we have quotes from Romans 5, again, Romans 8, 7, which we've read, Romans 7, 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Wholly inclined to all evil. We've seen Genesis 6:5, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The confession adds Genesis 8:21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither again will I smite any more every living thing as I have done. And Romans 3:10, which we've read. And then also, as with the catechism, large catechism, from this corruption proceeds all actual transgressions. James 1, 14 and 15, which we've read about being drawn away of his own lust. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, which we've read, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. And then Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Now there's two reactions you can have to these claims. One reaction would be to say, hey, I'm not that bad. I mean, I do some good things. I'm not evil continually. The other reaction you can have is to say, there, but for the grace of God, go I. And the tendency for everyone, for all human beings, is to minimize our offense, our offensiveness to God, and to claim our own righteousness, and to deny everything that these verses are saying about no good thing and evil continually. And the Bible, I think, teaches, although it's not in this section, but it's necessary for us to deal with this in order to understand and agree with what these Bible verses are saying, that without the grace of God, this is our nature, and that it's repugnant to God. And so that's, if there's any thought in your mind that, well, these verses are just an exaggeration, you need to rethink these verses and are saying. Section 5 of chapter 6 of the Confession. I think maybe I'll also point out here before I forget that the tendency, I think, is when we deny the extent of sin and the offensiveness of our sin and our nature to God, that we tend to deny the necessity for regeneration, that only if God regenerates us and only if God gives us grace are we able to do anything that's pleasing to Him. And this is all wrapped up in this idea of the depravity of man. It's what the Calvinist doctrine is usually described, and that's what we have here in this part of the confession. The depravity of man is always minimized so that we can say that we play some part in our redemption rather than depending wholly and totally and completely on God's grace. Section 5 of chapter 6. This corruption of nature during this life does remain in those that are regenerated, And although it be through Christ pardoned and mortified, yet both itself and all the motions thereof are truly and properly sin. Okay, that's a bit difficult. Mortified, mort, means be put to death. You might recall the verses in the Bible, in the New Testament, which talk about our putting to death the old man. Yet this old man and all the motions thereof are truly and properly sin. So let's look at that first claim, that this corruption remains in those that are regenerated. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Romans 7:14 and subsequent verses, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Proverbs 29, who can say, I have made my heart clean, for I am pure from my sin? Ecclesiastes 7:20, there is not a just man upon earth that does good and sinneth not. So it would appear that the corruption of nature remains in those who have been regenerated or saved. Although there are some good Bible-believing scholars who believe that Paul in Romans 7 is talking about his pre-conversion state and not his post-conversion state, but even then, the testimony seems pretty clear, and there'd have to be some interesting and creative arguments, or else there are verses that the confession is not talking about or has not mentioned. Maybe if you have some ideas about this, you'd like to talk about it. And every Saturday, we try to have a live webinar that we can discuss these ideas. And it's good for us to discuss these ideas, like the Bereans, who were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So although this nature, the nature that we get from Adam, is through Christ pardoned and mortified, yet both itself and all the motions thereof are truly and properly sin. And this again is Romans 7, the verses which I think we've covered before, but we'll read them again. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Tomorrow we'll talk about the effects, the miseries and the things to which we have been made subject by sin. That would be in section 6 of chapter 6 of the Confession, and also in the larger catechism question 27. And that'll be on day 20, and that'll be tomorrow.